From awaytogarden.com and robinhoodradio.com, this is Away to Garden with Margaret Roach, your weekly invitation to dig in and grow.
Yes, apparently more people gardened in 2020 than ever. And even before the holiday season was upon us, as it suddenly is, everyone was baking more than ever in this oddball year too. And it seems publishing baking cookbooks at a prodigious rate as well. So today we're going to virtually bake together, or at least talk baking, like whether you should blind bake that pie crust before filling it, with ideas for goodies from cookies to snacking cakes too, with Alexandra Stafford, author of the book Bread, Toast, Crumbs, and creator of the website alexandracooks.com. More in a moment after these messages.
Programming and underwriting support from Garden Tool Company. Garden Tool Company's wide selection of heirloom quality tools for your gardening passion is backed by outstanding customer service, fast shipping, and ongoing support. GardenToolCompany.com. Programming and underwriting support from Brushwood Nursery. For more than 20 years, Brushwood Nursery has shipped the finest selection of clematis and other vines all over the United States with full gallon-sized plant and free shipping. Their website is full of beautiful pictures and information on growing clematis. BrushwoodNursery.com. Underwriting support from Timber Press, your go-to resource for books in gardening and nature. Whether you're a new gardener, a professional at the top of your field, or a reader interested in the wonders of the natural world, their books are there to help you grow. TimberPress.com.
When cookbook author and food blogger Ali Stafford has visited the show before in recent years, we've usually talked vegetable cookery or soups, because we're both big soup makers. But 2020 is no normal year, and so what the hell, let's bake. Hi, Ali, ready to lead us into temptation?
Yes. Hi, Margaret. How are you?
Well, I'm looking for some treats over here.
I know. I think everybody could use some inspiration as we head into another shutdown. I think some people probably are already there.
Yeah. And so before we start, we're going to have cookbook giveaways from some of the things we're recommending. And these are great things for gifting or for buying for yourself and cooking from. But we're going to have details of the cookbook giveaways on with the transcript of the show on awaytogarden.com and on alexandracooks.com. So just so people can go look if they want to participate in that opportunity. I know your husband, Ben, is a budding vegetable gardener, crazy for Cherokee purple tomatoes, among other things. And I see that you're an increasingly houseplant addicted individual. So I hope that your visits to the show regularly have influenced you both in that way.
Oh, my gosh, so much. Ben is already looking forward to planting seeds. He does all the seeds from scratch every March. And he pulled out your book the other day. I was like, I can't wait to start. So thank you for that.
Tell him not yet.
No. Yeah. So there are lots of new baking books out there for anybody looking to add to their collection. I'm honestly like kind of overwhelmed by the content of each of the books we're going to discuss. But
yeah,
they're all different. Yeah.
With your book, which I think of as a baking book, not about treats exactly, but based on bread, your Bread, Toast, Crumbs book. I just the other day, my sister and brother-in-law who live near you were telling me, oh, we're baking this bread, and blah, 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 but the loaves are so big. And I was like, okay, wait a minute. I'll fix that. And I like shipped them your book.
Aw, thank you.
Overnight. And they started making your wonderful little peasant loaves, no need peasant loaves. So we'll give the recipe for that too. But today we're going to talk about sort of treats, right?
Yeah. No, all the baking books we're going to talk about are not really bread books. They're all cookies, pies, or general cakes or general baking books. And they're all wonderful. They're all written by experts in their fields. They're all different in their own way, and they all give measurements and metric, which I find so helpful. So everything is by weight, which more and more is just, you're seeing more and more in cookbooks, but I'm always surprised now when I actually come across a baking recipe that doesn't include weight, because it makes all the difference. And in each of these five books, all of the measurements include weight. So it's great.
Yeah. Well, and in one of the books, because in order before this getting together to talk about them on the show, I ordered the books that you recommended. One of the experts, one of the authors explains that the reason she does the metric, which we've explained before, but she got down to the nitty gritty and she said, like, a cup of flour, depending on how you scoop it and measure it, can actually weigh, if you weighed it on a scale, from 4 to 5 ounces. That's a huge difference.
Huge difference. She does
her recipes for 142 grams, which is 5.0089 ounces. You know, so it's that precise. And I mean, that's a 25% difference between 4 and 5 ounces of the amount of flour in your recipe.
Right, exactly. And everybody has a different amount for one cup. So King Arthur, if you go to the King Arthur flour website, their weight for one cup of flour will be different than Sarah Keeper's and 100 cookies. And it's different than mine. So it's important to follow the, you know, the guideline in the book that you're using. And then of course, like in the specific recipe that you're using.
Right. A gram scale with the cookbook would be a great combo.
Agreed. That would be a perfect gift, truly.
Yeah. So which book do you want to start with?
Well, we could start with Sarah Keeper's 100 cookies since we were just talking about her, her measurements, her, if you want.
Yeah.
Okay. So lots of your listeners probably know Sarah in one way or another. She wrote the Vanilla Bean Baking Book, which is named after her blog, The Vanilla Bean Cookbook, which is wonderful. Both her blog and her first cookbook are just, she's just a very reliable recipe writer. And she's also the creator of the Pan Bang Cookie, which was featured on the New York Times. So that's maybe why, it's, you know, people would know her name. And she's also just, I mean, she has a huge Instagram following and just a big following in general. So if you are a fan of the Pan Bang Cookie, which essentially, if you are unfamiliar, it entails, while the cookies are on the baking sheet in the oven, you lift up the pan and you drop it. And it creates these ripples throughout the cookies, which look really beautiful. All of the Pan Bang cookies just have like a really visually stunning look, but it also creates these textural variances throughout the cookie. Huh. So there's some like pockets of crisp and chewy, and it's a wonderful technique. And in this book, there are 12 variations of that pan baking technique, as well as an extensive troubleshooting section on that cookie, that one cookie. I imagine she must get tons of emails and questions about that specific cookie. So there's a huge troubleshooting section there. I have not made a ton of recipes, but the two recipes I made were wonderful. One was her brown butter chocolate chip cookie. And the beauty of that is that you don't have to use a mixer. So you have to go through the step of browning the butter, but anytime you don't have to pull out a mixer, it feels like a win to me. So they came together really quickly and they were so delicious.
So when you say we don't have to use a mixer, because we're not softening butter first and then trying to get it to cooperate and mix into the dry ingredients, is that why we don't need a mixer?
Exactly. You don't have to cream the butter and the sugar together. And okay. I feel like especially in the winter, as we head into winter, it just takes, even if your butter is at room temperature, I mean, my kitchen is freezing for the winter, so it takes so long for butter to soften. So being able to just brown it or even just melt it is so nice.
Okay.
And then just last night, I made her brown sugar cookies, and those do require a mixer, but they were still relatively like a very simple ingredient list, lots of brown sugar, a little bit of molasses, and they were so good. So that was, I can't recommend her book enough. I mean, every cookie you make will turn out well. And she's always had a passion for baking. And she writes in the introduction that cookies are a foundation, a stepping stone to baking, a rite of passage. And I just think about like younger bakers during this time.
Yes.
It's such a fun thing to do. Like my 9 and 10 year old, I can pull up a recipe, they can weigh out all the ingredients, and then we can make them together. And it's just a fun thing to do.
Now, we should say, you just mentioned your 9 and 10 year old, you have 4 children. Mm-hmm. And of course, during this strange year, they've been home more and more and more. So did they give these a thumbs up? Were these popular?
Oh my gosh, they devoured these. Yes, loved. Yep.
This book includes brownies and bars and meringues, which was the first thing I ever learned to bake from my grandmother.
Nice.
Meringues. So it has those, and it has, okay, if I even say this, I'm going to have to like go make them. Peanut butter crunch brownies. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yes, I know.
And then her ginger cookies have my favorite treat, which I always have in my cupboard, which I eat as almost like a candy, which is crystallized ginger. And I love ginger cookies with crystallized ginger, not just ginger powder or something, you know?
Yes. No, totally. Yes. So good. I know. No, all of her flavor combinations are wonderful. One of her pan banging variations has sesame seeds, and they just look so interesting and delicious. Yeah.
All right. So 100 cookies.
Yeah.
Okay. That'll get us through the winter, Allie.
Honestly, truly any of these one books, there's so much in each of these books that if you just had one, you could really make them stretch for months and months.
So which is next?
Okay. Maybe we should do The Snacking Cakes by Yossi and Yossi Arefi. She is the author of Sweeter Off the Vine, which is a beautiful book, very fruit forward book. And her blog is called Apartment to Be Baking. And she's like similar to the brown butter sugar cookies. So all the recipes in Yossi's book, you do not have to use a mixer at all. No stand mixer. Every recipe calls for either oil or melted butter. So her cakes come together mostly in a single bowl. And she says in the introduction that many of the cakes will also likely come together before your oven preheats. And both of the recipes that I have tried from the book, that happened. So they come together so quickly. They're so delicious. And I guess I should explain what is considered a snacking cake. So she calls a snacking cake a single layer cake, often square, covered with a simple icing or nothing at all, and it must be truly easy to make. Mm. And that's what these recipes are. They're simple, they're low stress, they require, you know, barely anything more than a bowl and a whisk and, you know, basic ingredients in your pantry.
So the thing that, and I really enjoyed this book a lot, and I don't tell my niece, but I'm thinking for her because she's mid-20s and she's getting more into cooking and baking and whatever. And this is the kind of book that I think would be great for her as well. But there's also, just like in the cookie book, there's these not science, but technical, you know, the sort of physics of the whole thing. And so, for instance, who knew you could, in choosing, she has just lots of details of like how things work and good ingredient combinations and, you know, just really smart. It's really, really smart, I think. So it's not just, here's a plain old cake. And I think, don't the chapters have fun names? I swear the chapters have really fun names. If I could even remember, I have the book right here. They're adorable. Fruit cakes, warm and toasty cakes, chocolatey cakes, and not your average vanilla cakes. Those are the four main recipe chapters, and I just love it, right?
Exactly. Even though, like, they're simple cakes, and they come together quickly, but they're not boring. They're not plain at all. I made the powdered donut cake, and my children devoured it. It was so good, and they requested it. I make it immediately again. And I made the lemon olive oil cake, which was so, I love an olive oil cake. And
that's one of my favorite types of cakes. Yeah.
It was excellent. And she also, after every single recipe, gives you variations. So with that lemon olive oil cake, for instance, there's a drizzle that you can drizzle over it. Or if you don't want to do that, you can do like a citrus soak, which I thought sounded really good. And I'll definitely try that next time. And she'll give a variation, like how to dress it up with fruit or whipped cream. And she has all these different variations for whipped cream, from like cocoa to vanilla to ricotta to honey. So it's just, it's simple baking, but it's like no flavor is sacrificed. And and she's also an excellent recipe writer, very reliable.
Right. Okay, good. So are we going on to the pie course?
Yeah, sure. Let's do pie. The Book on Pie by Erin Jean McDowell. So Erin is the author of The Fearless Baker, and she is a regular contributor to Food 52 and I believe the New York Times and other places as well. She's just kind of an all-star. But she and I felt like I could relate to a lot of the things she said in the introduction in terms of like pie is one of those things that I would say, like bread, inspires unnecessary fear. And you get the sense with Erin that she's really trying to remove the fear of pie baking from people.
Yes.
She gives like 5 reasons why she loves pie. And the 5th reason she loves pie is that she loves teaching people how to bake pie. And that's what she says is actually the most important reason. And it's like why she wrote the book. She wanted to create a true handbook for pie baking. And that's what this is. And I would say also she wants to really celebrate pie. I love this, what she wrote in the introduction. She says, pie has a miraculous ability to be simultaneously comforting and special occasion worthy, both homey and fancy. And I think she's so right about that. And being able to make, I think, a homemade pie crust is one of those things that's so satisfying once you get it right.
Yes, and she talks a lot about flakiness and so forth, and then whether to... I love that a lot of the things are illustrated so you can see, like, when the texture of when you put your shortening and your flour, your dry ingredients together, and the different textures and which are appropriate for which use, and what she's talking about. Like, she shows you photographs to describe par baking versus blind baking of crusts. And, you know, this is too dark and this is not, this is undercooked. Like, she shows you photos. Thank goodness, right?
So helpful. I found that little section of the introduction to be so helpful. The difference between par baking and blind baking, which I hadn't really know. Like, par baking is, I mean, it sounds so obvious now, but you don't fully blind bake it. Whereas blind bake, you fully blind bake it. So the crust is done when it's, you know, before you put the filling in.
Right.
But with so many, and we're talking the day before Thanksgiving, so many Thanksgiving pies call for par baking. And it's frankly a step I usually skip, but I'm actually going to par bake my pie crust this year because she made it so easy. And it also seems way more accurate to me. In the past, I've par baked crust, you know, so put the parchment in, added the pie weights or dried beans, par baked it for, you know, 25 minutes. And then a lot of the recipes have you take out the pie weights and then continue baking for sometimes another 20 to 25 minutes. And if I then have to put my fillings in and bake for another hour, my pie crust is going to be
burned.
So her par baking is like 15 to 17 minutes at 425 degrees on a baking steel, which I love. I really appreciated that tip. And then you take out the pie beads and pie weights or your beans, and you just bake it for 3 minutes more. So it just, it, I don't know. I feel like she kind of demystified that whole process for me, which is great.
And then there were like all these little tricks that I, you know, in choosing, you know, she prefers butter for using in her crust, but you can use different fats or whatever we call them and shortenings. Mm-hmm. And she talks about like, who knew you could use half cream cheese and half butter, and it gives it not only nice flakiness, but a little tang. The cream cheese adds a little tang, or like that a little vinegar or a little vodka in the dough, and she tells you how much, inhibits the gluten formation, which keeps the dough tender. Like, I had no idea. Yes. I'd read that in recipes. Oh, put a little bit of this, or, you know, vinegar or vodka. I didn't know why. So
I know. Yeah. I know neither. I found that so interesting. And then I also appreciated that she said, like, great, use those, but also with time, if you like perfect your technique, you won't have to rely on that, on those ingredients.
Right.
So there's so many great tips like that throughout the book.
Yeah. The book on pie.
Mm. Yeah. It is overwhelming by how many delicious looking pies. They're classics, but they're also, like, if you need inspiration in the pie department, I mean, it's here.
And they're savory pies too.
Yes. Yes. They're savory pies as well. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Beautiful book. Beautiful book. So, huh. Okay. Well, I'm already full, but go ahead.
I know. I know. Okay. So maybe how about Claire? The last two books, I'd say. So Claire Saffitz, I'm not sure I'm saying her name correctly. Her book is called Dessert Person. And people probably know Claire from the Bon Appetit YouTube channel. She was the star of the show Gourmet Makes, which she would make things like homemade Doritos and Skittles and gummy bears. Which is so funny because I feel like those actually are not at all like the recipes she would contribute to Bon Appetit magazine, which all of which I always loved. Like, she has a rhubarb custard cake that I make every spring. It's so delicious. And I really love having this book, knowing that, because in the intro, she talks about how fruit desserts are her preference. So there are lots of fruit desserts throughout the book, which I love. And this is what she writes in the intro that I love so much. She says, rolling out a pie crust or cutting biscuits is my version of doing yoga. Dessert is in my DNA. So she wrote this book because she wanted to defend her love of desserts, but also to empower reluctant home bakers to work with new ingredients, attempt new techniques, and bake with more confidence. And that, I feel like, is a theme with all of these books, is trying to give the home baker the confidence to tackle some of these things that may seem intimidating, but they're really not if you follow these instructions.
So that's Dessert Person by Claire Saffitz.
Yeah. And one other thing I'll say about this book, because she does make a note, she says some of her recipes may look long and wordy, but the point of it, they're not long and wordy without reason. Like she believes there's no such thing as a foolproof recipe. You know, everybody's kitchen is different. Everybody's environment is different. Everybody's oven is different. Everybody's using a different material of pan. So she'll never say, you know, bake a cake until the tester comes out clean. She'll also say, she'll tell you how it will look. She'll tell you how it will feel, and she'll tell you how it will smell. So she gives lots of visual cues, lots of indicators throughout her recipes, which I really appreciate and which I think so many home cooks really appreciate.
So we have a couple few minutes for one more, maybe. I think there's one more sort of general one in the current crop, yes?
Okay, yeah. So Melissa Weller is, it's called A Good Bake. So Melissa Weller, I mean, she trained in France. She went to the French Culinary Institute, worked at Babbo, Jim Leahy's restaurants, Thomas Keller's restaurants, Roberta's. Mm. And before that, though, she was a chemical engineer, and which makes a lot of sense. She talks about why she was drawn to baking, because baking so much is about precision and chemistry. And she says in the intro that, like, as an engineer, you're always asking, like, why is this happening? And she considers herself an engineer of dough. So, yeah, I know. I love that. This is a very, like, I feel like of all the books, this is maybe some of the more complex techniques. You know, if you are interested in laminating dough and making like beautiful croissants, Queen Amon, like beautiful flaky pastry, this would be a great resource. She's very detailed, very particular. And she does say in the intro, she had an aha moment when she was working in kitchens and learning how to bake, that she, from like more experienced bakers and cookbooks, she says, if those recipes had just given a little hint about this or that, a little more detail here or there, my baked goods would have turned out looking like those in the pictures that inspired me to want to bake them to begin with. I knew then that I wanted to write a cookbook. Mm. So it's kind of the book she wished she had when she was learning to bake. It's very comprehensive. I mean, she has, I don't know how we're doing on time, but she has, you know, a tutorial on yeast and sourdough breads, but she is not a purist with sourdough. She uses yeast for its reliability. She loves what a sourdough culture does to bread, but she almost never bakes anything exclusively with a sourdough starter, which I thought was a great approach because I think sourdough can be very intimidating for people.
Yes.
But there's just so many beautiful things in this book, the arugula, the biscuits, the cookies, the cakes. It's overwhelming, the content.
So this one, A Good Bake, Melissa Weller's A Good Bake, and the subhead I love, and it speaks to her as an engineer, the art and science of making perfect pastries, cakes, cookies, pies, and breads at home. So, yeah. So maybe that's the one after we master the other three or four, maybe we're moving it up a notch to the slightly intermediate / advanced course.
Totally. So I think anybody who appreciates a real science-y book, like I would say, like Kenji Lopez-Ault from Furious Eats, like who's the other one? Stella Parks from Furious Eats, the very science-oriented baker, this would be perfect for.
Yeah. So, Allie, we're out of time, but just super quick, what's your Thanksgiving dessert this year?
I'm only doing two because it's such a small gathering. It's a butternut squash pie. It's from butternut squash pie, and then it's a bourbon pecan pie. But just the two classics.
I'll be right there.
Okay. Yep. Oh, well, I wish you could.
I know. Another year. But thank you so much for making the time, and go back to your baking. And thanks for sharing all these books. I'll talk to you soon. Okay.
Okay. Sounds good. Bye, Margaret.
All right.
Programming and underwriting support from Garden Tool Company. Garden Tool Company's wide selection of heirloom quality tools for your gardening passion is backed by outstanding customer service, fast shipping, and ongoing support. GardenToolCompany.com. Underwriting support from Timber Press, your go-to resource for books in gardening and nature. Whether you're a new gardener, a professional at the top of your field, or a reader interested in the wonders of the natural world, their books are there to help you grow. TimberPress.com. Programming and underwriting support from Brushwood Nursery. For more than 20 years, Brushwood Nursery has shipped the finest selection of clematis and other vines all over the United States with full gallon-sized plant and free shipping. Their website is full of beautiful pictures and information on growing clematis. BrushwoodNursery.com.
And I'll talk to all the rest of you soon again, too. Now, don't miss an episode. You can subscribe free to the podcast version of the show on Stitcher or iTunes or Spotify. And you can find me anytime at awaytogarden.com or on Facebook and Instagram as @awaytogarden. And happy gardening and baking meantime.
A Way to Garden with Margaret Roach is a joint production of awaytogarden.com and the smallest NPR station in the nation, Robin Hood Radio.